Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, today we're really strapping in for something quite interesting.
Sounds serious.
Well, it's about where the real estate market is heading, looking forward. And you've basically handed us a mission here to pull out the key strategic nuggets from what seems like it should be a really important forecast for the next planning cycle, basically.
Got it.
So yeah, we're diving deep into, well, the expectation around this, the strategy, the, I guess, the market gravity of this material.
Right.
The goal, as always, is to get you quickly up to speed ahead of the curve.
And we should confirm the source material we're looking at today. It's labeled Excerpts from Emerging Trends in Real Estate 2025.
Right. That specific title.
Yeah, it's very official sounding,
Yeah.
known globally, really, a standard thing for institutional investors.
Okay, great. So let's unpack this. Or maybe, hang on, we need to acknowledge something a bit unusual here. This might be the most meta deep dive we've ever done.
How so?
Because our source stack, the material you gave us, well, it currently contains precisely zero data.
Zero.
Yeah, zero analysis, zero actual trends. We literally just have the cover page, the title, and that's it. Nothing else.
Right. So we have the label, the authoritative brand, you could say, but the actual contents are, well, a black box for now.
Exactly.
So the deep dive today isn't going to be about reading the data because we don't have any. Instead, it's more like strategically reverse engineering what this report intends to do,
Yeah.
who's it for, what are its biases likely to be, just based on the
I
packaging.
like that. Reverse engineering the intent.
Yeah, it's kind of an exercise in anticipating knowledge based purely on, well, market anticipation itself.
Okay, let's do it. And we are sticking strictly to the source material, which, yeah, in this case is just this powerful title. Let's start with the word that really sets the tone. Emerging.
Right, emerging.
For someone like you listening, looking for that edge, what does that specific word choice suggest? I mean, it's not current trends, is it?
No, it's not established facts either.
Right.
It immediately implies a focus on what's new, maybe what's disruptive.
Okay.
And crucially, I think emerging sort of dictates the report's implied risk appetite.
How do you mean?
Well, by focusing on what's emerging, the report is inherently likely to prioritize things that are maybe more volatile or less understood.
Oh, okay.
Things like, assets or sectors driven by tech shifts. PropTech is the classic example, right? Or digital infrastructure, complex niche housing, maybe.
Stuff that isn't the boring stable core.
Exactly. It probably de-emphasizes, relatively speaking, your stable Class A office in a main central business district.
So straight away, just from that one word, we're sensing a strategic bias away from the core, maybe more towards the edges of the risk
I
curve.
think so, yeah.
So if you're, say, a pension fund manager and your main goal is just minimizing volatility, that word emerging might almost be a bit of a warning flag, not just pure opportunity.
That's a very sharp way to put it. Yes. It signals where the focus lies.
Yeah.
It probably caters more directly to the strategic planner who needs that alpha, who needs to spot the ripple before it becomes a wave.
Right.
It shifts the whole conversation away from just asset stability towards the velocity of change.
Okay, but hang on. Doesn't almost every forecasting report use some version of emerging or future or something similar?
Yeah.
How does this specific title stand out?
That's a fair point. It's common language. But I think the distinction here comes with the next word, trends.
Emerging trends.
Yes. See, a raw data provider just gives you numbers,
Right,
figures.
spreadsheets.
Exactly. A financial newspaper might give you forecasts, point predictions maybe, but this title promises
And a
trends.
trend implies something more.
Something more persistent, right? An underlying pattern, probably driven by bigger structural forces, not just a short-term blip or a single market cycle wiggle.
Okay, so the expectation you'd have before even seeing page one is that the content inside has connected some dots. Like it's pulled together maybe demographics, climate risk, supply chain stuff, and shown a trajectory, a higher level synthesis.
Exactly that. The promise is that the report does the heavy lifting for you. It takes the raw data noise and delivers actionable patterns.
Pattern recognition for the busy executive.
You got it. So the strategic planner is essentially paying for two things: that proprietary data crunching and synthesis, and importantly, the authority that comes with this brand articulating what the big players believe is going to happen.
Okay, that idea of authority is a good pivot point. Let's talk about that structural element, the thing that really reinforces the trust you're looking for if you use this report.
You mean the little R in the circle?
Yeah, the registered trademark. Emerging trends in real estate. That's not just decoration.
No, absolutely not. And what's fascinating here, I think, is the sheer weight that symbol carries, especially institutional finance.
It implies more than just, like, we tried hard.
Oh, much more. Rigor is kind of a low bar, frankly. This signals an established methodology. It signals intellectual property. The trademark strongly suggests the report is based on a specific, probably proprietary, survey mechanism or analytical model, something they repeat year after year.
Right. And if we can guess what that mechanism is, we can start to anticipate the bias, can't we?
Exactly.
So who typically contributes to these big institutional trademarked real estate reports?
Well, they almost always rely heavily on polling, surveying the big players. Institutional investors, major developers, large lenders, you know, the established.
And that's where an inherent bias creeps in.
It has to, structurally. The report will likely emphasize themes that are most relevant for deploying large amounts of capital in big, established, liquid markets.
Makes sense.
What it might therefore underrepresent are maybe more localized issues or micro markets or the nuances of smaller scale private equity deals where the players just don't show up in those big surveys.
Right. So for you, the listener, seeing that symbol signals, okay, this analysis is trusted, it's vetted by the world's biggest investors, but it also means it probably leans heavily towards that institutional-grade thinking. It might miss opportunities outside that big money universe. It sort of defines the sandbox it's playing in.
That's a perfect strategic interpretation. And that consistency, the fact that it is trademarked and presumably uses a repeatable methodology year after year, that allows for year-over-year comparison. Benchmarking, which is crucial if you're trying to judge if your strategy based on last year's trends actually work or failed. You don't trademark a one-off analysis. You trademark a process.
A process.
Right.
Okay. Speaking of consistency and time, let's hit the last piece of this title puzzle. 2025.
The year.
Yeah. It's not just a random number, obviously. It sets a very specific planning horizon. So why should you, listening now, care intensely about something titled for next year? I mean, isn't that still a way off?
Well, because the strategic forces, the things that will define that year, are already in motion today, decisions being made right now. And the year constraint, putting 2025 right there, it immediately forces the reader and us thinking about it into the world of strategic planning, risk management, all linked to real estate's notoriously long capital cycle.
Right. Things take time in real estate.
Exactly. Development deals, financing decisions made today, late 2024, those define the risks and opportunities for 2025 and often well beyond.
So what kind of specific 2025 things does that immediately bring to mind?
Well, the big one has to be maturity walls, right? Debt.
Yeah. Refinancing.
Yeah. A lot of commercial mortgages that were written back when interest rates were, let's say, different.
Near zero.
Many of those are set to mature right in that 2025-2026 window. So by anchoring itself in 2025, the report implicitly promises to address those acute pressure points. Refinancing risk, cap rates, valuations for that period.
Okay, so if this report didn't talk about the refinancing challenges for, say, office or multifamily, we'd immediately know it kind of whiffed on the key issue for the year it claims to cover.
Absolutely. It's an implicit promise baked into the title. It has to focus on debt, capital structures, availability of finance.
What else does 2025 trigger?
Politics. Regulation. Depending on where the report focuses geographically, 2025 follows major election cycles in several key global markets.
Right. Including the U.S.
Including the U.S.
Right.
And real estate is incredibly sensitive to policy shifts, zoning, environmental rules, tax laws, infrastructure spending.
All that stuff.
Yeah. So the report, by naming 2025, is implicitly promising some guidance on how those political shifts might actually materialize into market impacts.
So it's really like a call to action, isn't it? Disguised as just a report title. It demands an immediate strategic response.
I think so.
Because if these trends are genuinely emerging, and they're tied specifically to 2025, then the window to actually act on that insight is closing fast, right now, basically.
It forces early thinking about budgets, capital allocation for next year, definitely. But, you know, this raises an interesting question, too. Since we know the title signals emerging trends, how might that 2025 constraint maybe dampen the enthusiasm for the really long-term, truly transformative stuff?
How so?
Well, think about it. An emerging trend that's maybe huge, but won't really hit the P&L statement until, say, 2027 or 2028.
Yeah.
It might get downplayed in a report focused squarely on 2025 in favor of something more tactical, something more immediate for next year's budget cycle.
Ah, that's a fantastic insight. So there's almost like an internal tension within the title itself.
Could be.
The pull between the novelty of emerging and the near-term immediacy of 2025. Fascinating.
Yeah, which gets prioritized.
Okay, so let's try and synthesize this whole slightly strange strategic exercise. A deep dive based purely on a title.
Okay.
We've basically confirmed the identity of the source. It's clearly highly anticipated. It seems authoritative. It's future focused. It's got that trademark signaling, a repeatable process. And it's likely biased towards institutional scale thinking and a certain tactical urgency because of that 2025 date.
Right. We know what kind of report it is or aims to be.
But the actual content, the specific predictions about industrial logistics or housing affordability or the fate of the office sector.
Still a complete mystery to us, yeah.
And that really underscores a crucial point about how we consume information, doesn't it?
How so?
That the branding, the perceived authority, the title itself, it creates this huge strategic anticipation. It can actually dictate market behavior before the data even drops.
That's absolutely right. What's fascinating here is just how much high-level strategic insight we can actually pull out just from context and branding alone.
Yeah, I was surprised too.
We already know the likely rigor is high, the focus is strategic, the knowledge is meant to be new and actionable for the next budget cycle, all without reading a single line of the actual analysis.
Right.
Your ability as a user to anticipate the kind of content you need, it's already being shaped entirely by that formal structure, the implied promises of that title.
Well, this has been a really unique journey into anticipating knowledge, dictated entirely by the, let's say, minimalist source material we were given this time.
Unconventional.
Definitely unconventional. But I think it really reinforces how the context, the branding, the strategic positioning of a major report like this, those things are powerful drivers in their own right. They shape market expectations. They influence capital allocation.
Indeed. We look at a title like Emerging Trends in Real Estate 2025, and we instantly assign value, credibility, foresight based on that brand and that promise.
Yeah.
The really savvy investor or user of this information anticipates the bias just as much as they anticipate the content itself.
Okay, so let's leave you, the listener, with a final thought, a provocative one for your own strategic planning, perhaps.
All right.
When you see any authoritative sounding title, doesn't have to be real estate, could be tech, finance, anything. What three critical biases do you expect that report might carry?
Good question.
Based just on its branding, its target year, its implied methodology, even before you read a word, what institutional assumptions, what viewpoints might be embedded right there in the title?
Anticipate the anticipation.
Nicely put. We hope this exercise in, anticipating knowledge was useful for you.
Hope so.
We'll catch you on the next deep dive.